Hey there, are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Join Adel Kozilski and Feige Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag healthy you, wealthy you.
A beautiful good morning from 101.9 High FM. We're in studio today, always with our favorite doctor in town, Dr. Kassel. We are continuing to learn about the body, how it works, particularly in children, but it has a lot of effect also with adults. And today we are going to be discussing the disorders of the blood. There's a lot around blood clotting and stuff that we are going to discuss. We'd love you to join the conversation. You can SMS us on 34519, or you can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. And I'm looking at Peggy. I forgot to say good morning.
Good morning, Adel. Good morning, Dr.
Castle. Good morning, Dr.
Castle. Good morning, Adel.
Right. We're going to discuss clots, the clotting factors, platelets, vascular stuff. Let's hit the road, Dr. Castle.
Thank you. Well, like everything we always do, we try to give a simple explanation as to how this all comes about. We give you a baseline that you can work from there, and then work out the disorders that occur because of disruption of the baseline. To start with, there are three major factors involved in the control of bleeding or blood clotting. They are the clotting factors, number one, the platelets, number two. The ability of the vessel wall to contract and the strength of the vessel wall, number three. And it is important to realize that without these three factors working in unison, bleeding cannot be properly controlled. And the subject of our talk is going to focus on how and where these factors are produced, conditions which may affect them, leading to bleeding, clotting disorders, and bruising. Let's start with the clotting factors. These are proteins that circulate in the blood plasma, and they are essential for the formation of blood clots. They are primarily produced in the liver, and they total 12 in number. These 12 factors are all genetically influenced and can be identified from birth onwards, and today with modern technology, even before birth. Undoubtedly, the most important of all the clotting factors is factor 2, prothrombin. Factor 2 cannot be produced in the liver without the influence of vitamin K, which is known as the clotting vitamin. This has led to the universal acceptance of giving a vitamin K injection to all newborns at birth. It has also led to the very important control of blood clotting, where anticoagulants are used to prevent blood clots from forming, such as post-surgery, post-caesarean section, and of course, using anticoagulants in people that have had thromboses in either the brain or the coronary arteries. And the prothrombin index is very, very important in later stages of life in keeping these clotting under control. There is one very important factor that stands out, and that is the hemophiliac factor. This is also diagnosable before birth and after birth, obviously. So to summarize, clotting cannot take place without the unison of these 12 factors. They play a very important role in our understanding of bleeding disorders, particularly bleeding disorders of the newborn, the most important of which I will discuss later being hemorrhagic disease of the newborn.
Can we just stop over here? Maybe, I don't know if you're going to discuss it later, but we've got a genetic condition where you can pass on to your children this inability to clot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And generally you don't pick it up. The child is born healthy. It's found in males. Yeah. And when you have the BRIS, that unfortunately leads to really disastrous Okay, so we're going. It's coming. Mashiach is coming, and so.
If I could also just add a question, yeah, is are these routine tests when someone's pregnant, or is it something that you would have to ask for?
I'm not sure if the genetic side is routine yet, but it's certainly things that can be considered. And what we have to consider is that a lot of this can be investigated long before birth actually takes place. And when we do our program, which is coming subsequently on genetic disorders, you will see the important role that early diagnosis and early knowledge of these conditions plays.
Right.
Genetics is a very vital factor today in medicine.
So for right now, to answer Faggy's question, would be that the mother would have to be proactive in saying to the doctor, I'm pregnant, I want to check for bleeding, for
hemophilia. But if they don't know that gene or not, they don't know to ask that question.
Well, nobody knows what genes they're carrying unless they go to...
It's a routine thing. It's only if you know if you have it in the family to ask.
Or you want to be like proactive and do a test.
It is very important to be proactive, because if I recall in my career of almost 60 years, I've seen women having cesarean sections where they almost bled to death with precisely the condition Abel is talking about has led to them almost bleeding to death. And only then was it diagnosed.
But why is it not something that, you know, the doctors will check your iron and they'll check your folate and they'll check whatever it is that they need, you know, in preparation for birth or whatever like that? Surely it should be like a standard screening.
It should be a standard screening test.
Are you saying it's not?
It's not, no.
What's
not standard.
What is the actual test called?
I'm not aware of what they... It would be a test of the clotting factors. This is done by the laboratory to break down the clotting factors.
Right. Okay, so I mean, I think that's something that's important information that somebody has to...
Absolutely. You can ask, particularly if there's a history in the family of something like this having happened before.
The sad thing is that lots of people are unaware of it, and some people are just carriers of it, or some people, you know, and they only see it like post de facto when there is a crisis and something goes haywire, you know, that they become aware of it. We're talking about prevention here.
That's absolutely correct what you say, Adel. Genetics is... at the moment, even still at this moment, a neglected disorder.
Right. Okay. If you've got any questions, you can SMS us on 34519 if you've got any questions around this area, or if you want to share. If you've been put in an unfortunate situation of finding things post de facto, you can also send us a Telegram message on 061-895-1019. Diskim Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage your health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Diskim Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. It's fast, affordable, and with care, you can find your nearest Diskim Wellness Clinic inside. That's Diskim Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kasilski and Faggy Stern.
We're talking to Dr. Kassel, and we're talking about all things blood. We are now, I think, going to be talking about the platelets, right?
Correct, Adel. The platelets are pieces of very large cells produced in the bone marrow, and these cells are called megakaryocytes. They are released immediately there's vascular injury, and their primary function is to prevent and stop bleeding by binding and clumping together, acting as a plug in the same way as a bath plug keeps the bath water in. So initially you bleed or cut, you get the release of megakaryocytes from the bone marrow. They form into platelets, clump together, and bring together other factors which facilitate and complete the clotting process. More specifically, the other factors are fibrinogen, which is factor 1 of our clotting factors and factor V, which is first to react. Factors I, fibrinogen, and factor V together form a meshwork like a spider's web, trapping more and more blood cells, and the platelets form the plug, which becomes the blood clot. Important disorders affecting the platelets are our old friend, the autoimmune disorders, which we have previously discussed in previous programs, which we will come to later in this program. Where an antigen, a bacteria, or a virus, and unfortunately today, also certain vaccine, can stimulate an antibody in the bone marrow, which when released may not only attack the known antigen, but also target body cells, in other words, the platelets, and leading to some very important bleeding conditions in children and in late adults. Lastly, we come to the vessel wall itself. Vascular thinning and decreased vascular contractility is unfortunately a condition of aging. And all of us who have reached the ripe old age of 80 plus know exactly what this means. You bump your hand on a hard surface and immediately you've got bruises all over. It occurs primarily with advancing age. Now, why does it occur? And
what should we do about it? Just not get old?
We can't. Either that.
Reversing your age.
It can either be accelerated or slowed by several important factors.
So listen up, everyone. We don't want to get old and be all bruised.
The important factors are vitamins A, C, and D. Very, very important. As well as collagen and zinc. This increases the vascular resistance of the vessel and decreases the tendency to bleed in the acute platelet disorders of children. Whereas advancing age and constant exposure to the sun without adequate protection may lead to an increased thinning of the vessels. Having outlined the precise mechanisms of clotting, bruising, and bleeding, we can now focus on some of the most important disorders that occur at different stages of life. And one of them is bleeding of the newborn. The key abnormality in this condition are the inherited disorders of the newborn involving the clotting factors. The most important of all these disorders is hemorrhagic disease of the newborn. This manifests after 1 or 2 days, leads to bleeding into the alimentary tract and the vomiting of blood. It is predominantly a prothrombin vitamin K disorder, and that is why vitamin K, the clotting vitamin, should be given to every newborn at birth.
That's standard, no?
Standard.
That is standard for every
birth. It is standard because it's eliminated this condition almost completely.
Right.
But certainly when I started pediatrics, it was a very important condition. You used to get this hemorrhage on the second or third day due to immature livers, premature livers, livers that couldn't produce prothrombin properly.
Okay. So this you don't have to worry about. You don't have to ask your doctor. Your doctor does it as a standard.
They do it routinely. This condition usually lasts 3 to 5 days, and it must not be confused with the vomiting up of small amounts of blood that a baby may have ingested from the mother's nipple. This is something that occurs very, very frequently, and it is due to the baby's strong sucking on the nipple and also irritation of the nipples, and it's avoidable by some of the nipple creams and nipple protective things that the midwives use. But you always get an urgent phone call from a mother to say, my baby is vomiting blood. Well, it's not usually the condition of hemorrhagic disease of the newborn. It's usually blood that is being sucked from the nipple. And the simple way to tell the difference
is that the mother's got sore nipples.
The simple way to tell the difference is to look at the colour of the bleeding. When it's straight from the nipple, it's bright red. When it comes from the alimentary tract or the stomach or hemorrhagic disease, it's usually changed in colour. It usually goes a brownish colour.
Isn't it simple to ask the mother how her nipples are doing?
Well, actually, you shouldn't say it here, but the best way to treat the nipples is the way the animals treat them. They walk around naked, they don't wear bras, and they sit under a tree and feed their babies.
No, listen, even I think, no, but even modern day nurses today tell you to do that. I did that, like when I was struggling. And the other old-fashioned one is to put cabbages to, like, reduce the swelling, and it works like a bomb.
Yeah, cabbage leaves.
Cabbage leaves. So between sitting in the sun and using cabbage leaves, I guess you can sort that all out. And
your baby to go back to the jungle.
And your baby won't vomit blood. All right, let's move on.
Severe bleeding from the umbilical cord is another, or excess bleeding from a circumcision. This should also alert one immediately to the possibility of an inherited blood clotting factor deficiency, which we will discuss when we do the genetic disorders. It is a very, very important one to remember. So don't pass off this. Finally, in female infants, another emergency call to the doctor. My child is bleeding from the vagina. It's a common occurrence because of the interaction between the hormones in the mother, estrogen and progesterone, and the female child actually builds up in the uterus exactly the same any normal woman would do and has a period. And this can occur after 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and it occur even a second time, and the mother has to be reassured.
But that will just go away, right?
It goes,
you don't do anything about it. No. It's just an interaction between.
And you don't stop the breastfeeding for that reason.
But is it just that the baby has a hypersensitivity to the mother? Just what, genetically, or just that?
No, I think with the mother's hormones are at high levels and interacting with each other, it's quite common, not uncommon, for the uterine wall to build up and to slop away exactly as it does with a normal period. And you see it in the baby.
Interesting. I'm learning interesting things. I've never heard a mother complain about vomiting up blood because of her nipples and this with the females. Okay. That's why we're here, right? We're learning new things. Okay.
Bleeding or bruising in children, adolescent and adults. This is moves away from the newborn period. Whereby the newborn period was mainly concerned with the inherited clotting factors disorders, this group in children, adolescent and adults involves our old nemesis, immune disorders.
Right.
See. And it also embraces a wider term called purpura. Purpura is a condition that causes purple or reddish purple spots to appear on the skin and, very importantly, on the mucous membranes, the gums, and the roof of the mouth. This condition is caused by blood vessels leaking blood under the skin, causing spots or bruises to appear anywhere, but usually worse in the legs, the elbows, and in the dependent portions of the body, mainly the lower two-thirds of the buttocks and the elbows. The golden rule here, and if you remember nothing else from what I'm saying today, is never to ignore the sudden onset of bruising or bleeding, especially if this is associated with anemia. The red flag is anemia, especially if you cannot ascertain the cause of the anemia. It is the key early sign in the acute leukemias of childhood, the lymphomas of childhood, and also in the chronic myelogenous and platelet leukemias of older adults.
So this is just if you see purple spots or bruising.
See the appearance of bruising.
From nowhere. Hit yourself somewhere.
All of a sudden, the mother brings the child into the doctor and there's bruises on the gums, big clots on the gums. The skin starts bruising. That is a red flag. That's a danger signal. But The red flag is emphasized by anemia. You can safely say to her, if your child is not anemic, it is very unlikely to be a malignant condition. But if it is anemic, anemia usually comes first and then comes the bruising. In both children and adults, it is vital for the patient, for the child or adult, to have an initial blood count. But remember that even if this is clear and the condition persists, then a bone marrow examination should be done. This particularly applies to adults with a condition of chronic myelogenous leukemia. And I was involved, not that I'm an adult physician, but I was involved with a friend of ours in Israel who is actually a rabbi. And I'll tell you the story. I was phoned by him to say that he'd suddenly gone very pale. And looking at him on Zoom, he was very pale. He was as white as a sheet. And he'd been to the doctor, and the doctor had said to him that he is anemic. They'll give him a blood transfusion and see what happens. Well, that's the wrong approach. He then started to bruise, and they also gave him an appointment subsequently, later on. To cut a long story short, I said to him, even if your peripheral blood is normal, go to a hematologist and insist that they do a bone marrow. And lo and behold, the bone marrow was riddled with malignant cells. Now, this is the key to the diagnosis of the leukemias and the platelet malignancies of adults. If you diagnose the condition while it is still in the bone marrow and you treat the patient, they have a 50% chance of survival. If you wait for the condition to break into the peripheral blood, they have virtually no chances of survival at all.
And what type of treatment is it that they use?
Well, it's oncology. It's the new antibody treatment that they use for this. It's actually cancer chemotherapy. But unless you start it when the condition is in the marrow, you will not get a good result. And the same applies to the childhood leukemia. Diagnose it before it has broken through into the peripheral blood, if possible. Don't wait for it to get into the peripheral blood.
You know, it's like pretty scary. And I think this is one of the reasons, you know, we have our show is just to actually educate the man on the street. You know, we trust our doctors, and so we should absolutely trust the doctors, et cetera, et cetera. But it's important to have this information at the back of your head and to be educated, to ask the right questions, you know, and investigate. And this is not only on this condition. It's, you know, across health everywhere.
Absolutely. This rabbi friend of ours who's in Israel that I'm telling you about phoned me back to say he'd been to his house doctor who got him an appointment with a hematologist in 3 months' time. I said to him, please, if you want to stay on this earth, go to a proper hematologist.
And go see him tomorrow.
Right now.
Yeah.
And he did.
Also, Dr. Castle, do they test the iron levels of babies when they're born?
Not routinely. They'll test iron if there's a suggestion of anemia or iron deficiency, especially.
Being pale, what other symptoms could there be of a child that is anemic?
Irritability.
Sleep issues?
Yes, irritability.
Black under the eyes?
Black under the eyes, irritability. And the irritability fluctuates between that and lethargy.
It's difficult because, I mean, there's a lot of irritability in babies, so it's not something that you would necessarily consider an iron issue.
I think iron and vitamin should be given even in breastfed babies, because the iron reserves from the mother eventually get used up, and the baby doesn't only get adequate content of iron from about 3 to 4 months onwards.
So the
mother should be taking iron supplements, and the baby should get an iron supplement.
Well, the mother should actually have her iron tested.
Yeah, correct. So there. To conclude the group of purpuric disorders, we must never forget to consider the very important autoimmune disorders. Top of the list is idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura.
Wow.
It's a hell of a word.
Yeah, please.
Idiopathic means we don't really know. Thrombocytopenic means we don't have any platelets, and purpura means we're bruising.
Now, what could you just call a spade a spade?
So we don't know, we start to bruise, and we bruise and bleed, but we don't know why. Now, when you do the blood in this child, you might find that the normal platelet count in a child is over 200,000, 200 to 400,000. But you might find that this sort of child has no platelets at all, 0 to 10. And you think, well, this is the end for the child. But it's not the end, because the determining factor in this condition is also the vascular contractility. If you can strengthen the vessels in idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura, however low the platelet count is, you can strengthen the vessel and prevent the bleeding. And this is what cortisone does. Mm-hmm. And that is why you put, because it's an autoimmune reaction. The autoimmune antibody is killing off the platelets. It's also killing off the blood vessel to a certain extent. So if you suppress the autoimmune reaction on the vessel and on the platelet, eventually the platelet count will rise, it will go up, but the first thing that you'll prevent will be fatal hemorrhage. They used to die before you could do anything about it, but if you give them cortisone from the word go, then you will suppress the immune response, and they, in 80% of cases, they will all get better. In 20% of cases, they will go into chronic purpura and may even need splenectomies because the spleen starts to break down the platelets. Again, autoimmune reaction.
We are talking to Dr. Cussell, and we're having a very interesting conversation around blood and clotting and all of those things. I'm not going to try to say idiopathic thrombo, cytic purpura.
The unknown cause
of bleeding and bruising. Right. If you have any questions or you want to make a comment, this is your time. You can SMS us on 34519 or 061-895-1019 is our Telegram number. A reminder that Faggy and I run a WhatsApp group. It's admin run, so you don't get spammed. You can even leave it on silent. And every day we just drop a thought about making our health better, because prevention is your best tool, and the more we educate ourselves, the better our outcomes. You know, if you know how to advocate for yourself or understand processes, it helps a tremendous amount. So if you'd like to, just please send an email to info@highfm.com. Give us your name, give us your number, and we will gladly join you. Attention, small business owners. You can boost your brand with an unbeatable advertising deal on 101.9 High FM. You can get 5 ads per day for 5 days for just 5,000 Rand. This stimulus campaign is perfect for businesses looking to make a splash. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to reach your audience and grow your business. If you're interested, you can email info@highfm.co.za as well, or you can text 061-895-1019 today. This is the Healthy You Wealthy Show. This is 101.9 High FM.
This is the Healthy You Wealthy You Show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
We're talking to Dr. Jack Cussell, and we're talking all sorts of blood disorders. I'm looking now. I can see the next one's even worse than saying that you unidentified bruising. Your next heading.
Well, it's called Henoch-Schönlein purpura. Really, after the two men that named the disorder. Very simply, it's an antibody attack on the blood vessels, not on the platelets, where the blood vessels rupture and cause bruising and bleeding, but it has a normal platelet count, whereas in the other condition that Adel couldn't pronounce, the platelets are reduced and the vessel is affected. In this condition, it's only the vessels that are affected, and therefore it's only in the dependent parts of the body. It's a purpura or bruising that occurs in the lower two-thirds of the buttocks, the elbows, and the feet, and it's a self-limiting condition. It only becomes serious where in 5 to 10% of cases it may affect the internal vessels, the vessels in the abdomen causing severe abdominal pain, and the vessels in the kidney causing a nephritis. But this is not usually the case. It's very, very rare. Thirdly, I come to the adult bruising disorder that is probably the most critical and scary that we've ever seen, and that is meningococcal septicemia. The meningococcus is a germ for which, by the way, there's now a meningococcal vaccine readily available, and it should always be given. The meningococcus is a germ that circulates in the circulation as a septicemia, but immediately starts destroying the platelets as it gets into the circulation and causing a necrotic purpura of the vessel wall. In fact, it's very similar to the killer bacteria today, which they describe in the ICU units of the hospitals, where these severe germs actually eat up flesh. This is meningococcal septicemia. It is a very frightening condition. And from seeing the child in your rooms, maybe, and getting it to hospital is probably about a 3 to 6 hour period. The child can die in that interim period unless you get it somewhere where you can put up a drip and give it massive doses of cortisone, because otherwise it will terminate. Wow. It's an
event. Is it similar to that of Stevens-Johnson?
Yes, it's similar, but very much more rapid. And the key thing about this condition over here is it's a necrotic purpura. You actually see the flesh disappearing before your eyes. It's a frightening condition, very, very frightening.
Wow.
And then, of course, we come to our old friend, that terrible condition known as lupus erythematosus. This is the pinnacle of all the autoimmune disorders, where the platelets, the blood, red blood cells, the small blood vessels of the face, the vessels of the kidney, and the vessels of the joints are all attacked, leading to a breakdown of the a complete breakdown of the whole autoimmune system. And that is what lupus is. It's a rash in the butterfly area of the face. It's an arthritis. It's a hemolytic anemia. It's an idiopathic, not idiopathic.
No, every time you look at me now.
It's a thrombocytopenia. They now know the cause. It's a thrombocytopenic purpura.
If you hear the word idiopathic, like run, because they don't know what they're not sure what they do.
But that, of course, is the complete breakdown of the autoimmune system. And it's markedly on the rise today. And of course, it's not our purpose on this show to scare people. But why is it on the rise? You've got to begin to ask yourself the question, what are we doing to ourselves and what are we doing to our immune systems to cause this condition to become more common? Perhaps from listening to our previous shows, you may find the answer.
Are you not going to give us the answer there?
Be very careful in the way you stimulate your immune system.
Right.
Each time you stimulate the immune system, you're sending that immune system a message to go out and attack something that's going to attack it. But you have no control over what you've done. The same time as you've sent out the message, that same message can be directed against tissues, causing fatal myocarditis and people dropping dead. That same condition, that same antibody can be directed against the kidneys, against the brain, against the nervous system, causing Bell's palsy. And these are all conditions that are on the rise today. And of course, you have to ask yourself why.
That is the bottom line with Healthy You, Wealthy You. Ask the question, why? And go to the source, right,
Doctor? That's what you're hinting at, Doctor. I think we can also discuss, like, even just an antibiotic over antibiotic use.
Well, sure.
Because, I mean, it's all connected to the immune system.
Because what have antibiotics done these days? They've broken down your immunity.
So you're basically, your body can't fight all the antigens.
Correct. It's not identified them properly. And because we're running out of time, we'll deal briefly with vascular contractility and fragility. There's not much to be said about that. It's a classic bleeding and bruising disorder of aging, and factors causing it and leading to its more rapid onset are sun exposure, lack of collagen, lack of zinc, and deficiencies of vitamins A, C, and D. They can all arrest the process. And it's a condition which occurs when only the slightest pressure on the skin rapidly spreads into purple patches. It's benign. It doesn't cause any problems. It disfigures you, yes, but no problem.
We're talking to Dr. Cussell, and we've been discussing all sorts of blood disorders. We've got a couple of minutes left if you still want to ask a question or make a comment. And you can do that by SMSing us on 34519 or our telegram number 061-895-1019. The Johannesburg Philharmonic Orchestra's Winter Symphony season is sure to warm the hearts of music lovers during the chilly winter months. Concerts take place at Linda Auditorium on Thursday evenings from the 5th to the 26th of June. Season ticket bookings are via info@jpo.co.za, and tickets for single concerts are available from Quicket. This is 101.9 High FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kazilski and Faggy Stern.
All right, we've got just really literally 2-3 minutes left. And I said to Dr. Cussell during the break, you didn't mention DVT, blood clotting and blood clots.
Just to try and summarize it very, very quickly, you don't get your heart attack. You don't start treating your heart attack or your coronary thrombosis, cerebral thrombosis, when you actually get the thrombosis. You start avoiding it from birth onwards. Incorrect feeding of a baby at birth, overloading with carbohydrates, causing underlying latent diabetes, causing fats to move off in the wrong direction and not be metabolized properly through the Krebs cycle, they all cause the abnormal fats, the LDL cholesterol, to go into the arteries and cause your eventual heart attack. And to start riding a bicycle at that time and walking around the block is not going to help you.
There you go. And so what do we say on Healthy You, Wealthy You show? We say prevention is your best tool. So listen up, really pay attention. Okay, maybe we'll have a whole show on that, Dr. Cussell. Thank you again for your expertise and your explanation. And hey, Faggy, don't be idiopathic.
And everyone have a very healthy Shavuos.
Yes, yes. You don't have to pile out. You can have some dairy, but there's lots of healthy recipes. Maybe Faggy will look for one or two. I actually saw some very nice ones. We'll post on our WhatsApp group. Again, if you'd like to join, you can send an email to info@chaifm.com and just give your name and your number and we will join you. Chag Sameach to everybody and thank you for joining us.